You were watching Sky correspondents outside number 10 on their mobiles being WhatsApped by a government minister saying, oh, such, I can't tell you, but such and such is now saying they're resigning. And I thought, it's all part of a big game, and we sit here and we watch that. And then Sky bangs the adverts in between to make as much money as they can. And that's the problem we've got with our media in the UK. How you solve it, not sure. Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode, the final episode of the year of the Bitcoin Collective podcast, your journey into Bitcoin, macroeconomics and sound money with me, Jim.
And me, Jordan.
So look, Jordan, I'm not going to go into this. Did you have a nice Christmas? Blah, blah, blah. Was Santa good to you? Fuck that. Let's get straight into the macroeconomics right away. Today is a crimbo limbo. So we're in between Christmas and New Year. Yes. We've got a lot to discuss.
I like it. I've never heard that before. Crimbo limbo.
We're in crimbo limbo. Oh dear.
Right, what's first on the agenda?
Okay, so first on the agenda is, so I listened to a Radio 4 program a couple of days ago in the car, and it was this, I know, independent journalist, blah, blah, blah. And she was essentially talking about the gurus, saying that Jordan Peterson, Majid Nawaz, you know, all these kind of guys, you know, like guys at the Coast guy, they are all heretics, in inverted commas. They are conspiracy theorists. And what they do is they create content that we like, because we like a conspiracy theory. And they're playing to the audience to build audience to get more money. And it's not really, and some of them are going way too far one way or the other. And there was this guy on basically said that Jordan Peterson was his guru. He didn't like the way Jordan Peterson was addressing things now since he'd come back on Twitter. And I thought to myself, that's a bit rich for the BBC Radio 4 with its dwindling listenership, you know, having a go at these people whose listenership is on the way up.
They're just seeing everyone move away and actually get away from centralization, right? It kind of is. Because when you're talking about these gurus, whoever is in that basket, like, there is things that people will agree with and people won't agree with. And it's just about taking bits from each, really, and then forming your own opinion rather than relying solely, as a lot of people have done, on the BBC. This is gospel. Like, this is my trusted source of information.
Yeah, and people are probably having a go at the podcast now or the YouTube channel saying, hold on a minute, what were you doing listening to Radio 4, Jim? It just so happened it popped up on the car. And just at that moment, I heard Jordan
Peterson's
name.
I mean, I listened to Radio 1. It's not...
Yeah, yeah. Well, Radio 1's really... Radio 1's for airheads, isn't it? There's no deep intellectual conversation stimulating your synapses there. No, it's just bum, 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 isn't it? Is that why you listen to it? Bum, 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 bum. Yo, man! So... I thought to myself, and I thought about some of the people that have influenced me and maybe the audience this year. Jordan Peterson, he's a bit deep for me. He comes up with some good stuff. I mean, he's a very clever guy. He's been up and down in his life. I'm watching Father Calvin, you know, Father Calvin. So I'm watching him. I mean, he's very, you know, Christianity and the Lord Jesus and, you know, anti-abortion. And I get all that. But he comes out with some really, really practical stuff. So you've got a Christian minister giving it, look, this is bollocks. Let's fix this. You know, and he's more or less, I really like that about him. So he's Christian. I like the fact Majid Nawaz, he's a heavy Muslim. So he's, you know, he's deep into his Muslim faith. It stimulates him, it grounds him, and they're all pals. So it's not as if one's saying, you know, believe in this or believe in that. They interact with each other. And I think you said earlier on that Neil Oliver, the Coast guy, you know, the kind of he's getting some of his 12-minute diatribes are mind blowing, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about. I mean, all these people is that they're just solely focused on, like, what's the problem that we've got with society at the moment.
Yes.
And that was one thing that was evident when we were talking to Majid. And then when you listen to Neil Oliver, they don't necessarily advocate for Bitcoin as the solution. They just say, we've got this problem, and this is what's happening. This is the dangers if we keep going down this path.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like.
Yeah. I think now mainstream media is terrified of the fact that you can basically go on and set yourself up as a homemade journalist or guru on YouTube or Instagram or Twitter, and all of a sudden people are listening to you and you build an audience. And it terrifies them.
It's ridiculous now. It's ridiculous that Twitter, you can get the news hours before it's actually on the news.
Yeah.
Like Twitter, if you want to know what's happening in the world, Twitter's the place to go to find out what's happening. Yeah. Yes, there'll be some things that are misinformed on there, but it's the same as the news outlets as well. But yeah, I see something on Twitter and then I see it like an hour later in the news. I'm like, yeah, that's old news now.
Yeah, and I look at all that stuff. I mean, I listen to LBC. I've kind of stopped listening to LBC because it's so boring. When I listen to Nick Ferrari in the morning, you're like, why don't you ask proper questions? The media are part of the whole thing. Oh, conspiracy theory, we're going down it. But essentially, they're not asking hard questions. And so people like Jacobs, Rees-Mogg, and these people are allowed to get away with their answers. You know, if you look at Boris Johnson and the Senate, there's a lot of talk now. I think 2023 is going to be interesting in terms of Brexit in this country. And that's like 4 or 5 years after. Has Brexit worked, or are we still, you know, in shitsville as a result of it? And I think a lot of people are going to turn on the Tory party and say, you told us this, you told us that. Life was going to be better, but it's worse, and you can't blame it on the pandemic. So I think mainstream media is going to struggle against some of the new, we'll call them nouveau journalists or gurus, whatever you want to call them, that are on the rise.
Yeah. What do you think? Do people have the balls to do that? Call out? Like, there's plenty of people calling out the Tory party, but like, to actually do something? Because like, we know a lot of the stuff that's said in politics is just bullshit.
Nonsense.
And it's honestly, it's a clown show. Everyone you speak to, it's like, you say a clown show, they agree with you. And why are we just taking this as the norm now? These absolute clowns running our country. I don't get that. That does not fit with the way that my brain works.
You see, there's no punch without Judy. So if punch is the media,
you have to explain that one.
You ever heard Punch and Judy? Oh, I'm showing my age here.
Richard and Judy. Yeah.
I know, Richard and Judy. Punch and Judy. So Punch and Judy were, hello, hello. And they used to batter each other. That was what we had before you guys had like computer games. We watched Punch and Judy. So they always say there's no punch without Judy. So essentially, there's no media without the politicians. There's no politicians without the media. They feed off each other. I mean, if you think about what was happening with the Liz Truss, that Prime Minister we had for 10 minutes. You were watching Sky correspondents outside Number 10 on their mobiles being WhatsApped by a government minister saying, oh, such, I can't tell you, but such and such is now saying they're resigning. And I thought, it's all part of a big game and we sit here and we watch that. And then Sky bangs the adverts in between to make as much money as they can. And that's the problem we've got with the media in the UK. How you solve it, not sure. So, you mentioned the term clown show there. There's a clown show about to take off in February of 2023 in London, sponsored by OKX. What? It's a shitcoin conference, and they've got, hold on a minute, BitBoy Crypto, probably travelling business class all the way from the USA to stand up there. Have you seen some of the things he says? He called a woman a paedophile because she disagreed with him on a stage because his back was against the wall, and we're flying this guy over to London. OKX are flying him over. What? Oh, total clown show, Jordan.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, for context, like, yeah, OKX are going to, I mean, their exchange. For them, they want to, their business, they want to incentivize people to trade shitcoins and not just Bitcoin, which is fair enough. So we have, for the listeners to know, we have parted ways with them and they won't be continuing with us as we go forward. But yeah, to see that they, it's sad to see, and with this type of event that's going on. So I'll put the link in the show notes below so people can see it. But it's called the Blockchain Economy London. And the logo is a Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And you sent this to me earlier. I was in the gym and I got so angry. I got really, like, I was raging. I'd lifted heavier than I've ever lifted before because I was like, what is going on? Why is a blockchain event having the logo of a Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Like, that just does not make sense. It's like, I gave you the analogy, it's like having a car show with just absolute secondhand, like, I don't even know how to describe it, like Volvos, Fiats, just really old cars, and then putting a Ferrari logo on it and say, come to this. Like, we're going to have this here. And it just, I don't know. It just frustrates me so much.
Yeah. Well, you know, the feedback we got from our conference was phenomenal, and the Bitcoiners really enjoyed it. I think we hit the right note. And I was kind of hoping that would rub off on OKX, but when I saw some of the stuff, when I see some of the speakers, and again, so Dr. Lisa Cameron, who came to our conference, she's one of the speakers there as well. So she's part of the crypto group on the government at Westminster. So she's finding out as much as she can. She's educating herself. But it comes back to what we said on the stage. So there's Polygon. There's all the usual, all the amount of crap that's there. And all the VCs. And that whole, that's where people get ripped off. This lot is Hyenasville. And nobody's representing Bitcoin. And what they've done is they've put Michael Saylor up, as in they used him last year. I don't know but it's like, hold on a minute. It's got nothing to do with Bitcoin. And you're right. The logo's up there. They used a Bitcoin because nobody owns the logo. In fact, is that guy not Craig Wright, not own the logo? I'm going to phone that guy up because he'll take anybody to court, won't he?
Don't you dare. We're not getting dropped in that.
No, it's way too deep for us.
Yeah, you're right. Like, if you look at the speakers, that I can't see anyone on this list that would represent Bitcoin to a high standard.
Yeah.
And that's what worries me. They've got the Bitcoin logo there, but there is nobody on this that could represent it, from what I'm seeing, to a high standard, which then this tarnishes the reputation of Bitcoin and what we are up against.
Yeah.
Because that conference is not Bitcoin at all. That is very crypto. So it's like we're trying to separate Bitcoin from crypto. Like,
yeah,
that's a big message that everyone in the Bitcoin space is trying to do. But it's almost like crypto is trying to bring them together,
yeah,
and use Bitcoin's branding to advance their businesses and make more money out of it.
And I understand now
that's
why.
That's the thing that really frustrates me.
And I understand, Jordan, that when we started off the conference, it was like we took a lot of grief and a lot of people making sure we didn't do exactly what they're doing. And we made it a Bitcoin on the conference. Anyway, I am going to apply to be a speaker. I am going to apply online to be a speaker. And if not, I think I'm going to go down there and represent Bitcoin. And I'm going to ask them to take that Bitcoin logo off if they don't accept a Bitcoin speaker, Bitcoin only speaker on their panels somewhere. It's not right, because it comes back to that. This is what then people see. And then something will come out of that. And you're like, I could go to government. And, you know, somebody could cozy up to Dr. Lisa Cameron and say, we could do this for you because they get money because they create tokens. And everybody, what happens when you create tokens? You get FTX and you get Celsius. And this is the bit that people have not got through their skulls. And you and I have gone through this with Reserve and everything else. We've gone through it. And when you make a man, a woman, a they-made token, and then you use that to trade and to give you liquidity, it's not right. It's not backed by anything. And
it's...
We get this, and I know a lot of our listeners do, but how they... I mean, Lisa Cameron's not daft. I'm going to DM her. She's not daft. She knows the difference. But maybe they think, well, Bitcoin's bad because it could dethrone us. Ooh, whereas this other lot, we can control and regulate that far more easily. So we need a Bitcoin voice there. So, Corey Klipstein, get in your private jet and get over here. Max Kaiser, stop sunning it up in the beach in El Zonte. Get in your private jet and get over here. Call out to you both. Bum, 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 bum. Do you know what you need there? You need Greg Foss and you need Larry. You need Greg and Larry over there.
If we've managed to bring some of them over and, take them there, that would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
That would be very fun to watch.
There's a Bitcoin protest outside. Oh, dear.
It's just having the Bitcoin logo for me is the bit that really frustrates me, because it's fundamentally not a Bitcoin event.
No, I know, it's not right. So let's work on that, because if we've been true to what we say, a lot of people talk, and we're talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. People said that since I was a wee boy. Talk is cheap. Anyone can talk. Let's take action again, and let's, in a very friendly way, contact the organisers and say, that's not right. That's willful misdirection, some lawyer might call that, and that you're talking, and people are looking at it going, oh, it's that Bitcoin, and then they just are related to crypto when we know it's not. And that's been the main narrative and maxim over the last 12 months, hasn't it?
Yeah, let's do that, because I'm interested to know who's the organisers of this as well.
So that's us endeared ourselves with the Shitcoin conference. So let's get back to the Bitcoin price. People don't like to talk about price. Let me give you a scenario. Let me build a picture to you. So this time last year, I think Bitcoin was roughly $50,000. I'm making that up. I've got no concept. It wasn't far off it. And then over the last 12 months, we've had all the shenanigans, all the fraud, all the shysters and charlatans. And we now know that, but there was a time when we actually thought this, it was a good thing. I mean, don't get me wrong. Probably 18 months ago, if Celsius had contacted us and said we'd like to sponsor your podcast, we probably would have, because we didn't know any better. It's only when we went down the rabbit hole we realised, hold on a minute, this is a load of nonsense. So you've got, is it 3AC?
Yeah,
3AC, Celsius, FTX, Voyager. All this nonsense, all the leverage, all the commingling of funds, people being arrested, people going to ground. You know, where is Alex Majinsky right now? All that stuff. People like Corey Klipstein doing a brilliant job of calling them out. I think Corey Klipstein deserves a Bitcoin medal, if there's such a thing, because he's really put a lot of effort into calling them out in a very forensic, clever, smart, informed way. He's not thrown mud at them. He's basically said, can you answer these questions? And they've said, no, we can't. So they fight back. In 2018, Jordan, the Bitcoin low price was something like $3,000. It's now up, it's still sitting roughly at $16,000, touch wood. But with all that unwinding, I mean, the worst unwinding of the world was FTX. You would think that was the end of Bitcoin. So my question to you in the audience is, at $16,000, and it's been there roughly for 4 weeks now, who's left to sell? Discuss.
I mean, retail's not selling. I highly doubt that they're selling.
Retail's gone.
I highly doubt many. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not retail. So it would be the GBTC fund is the only scary thing, right, at the moment.
I think there's a couple of scary things. So number one is you've got the GBTC fund, because we don't know. Barry Silver's gone very quiet in that. We don't know what's happening. There's people trying to find out, because that could be massive if that goes under. Because that was supposed to be the big golden child ETF, wasn't it?
That will be huge if something goes wrong there. Because I'm not really sure the situation where we're at the moment, because it's moving so fast. But if that unwinds, wow, that will cause ripple effects across the whole market.
So you've got that, and then you've got the Mt. Gox coin release. Was it January you talked about that happening?
Yeah. Yeah, January the 10th.
So for a lot of our listeners who maybe don't know, years ago, there was an exchange called Mt. Gox. It got into all sorts of trouble, and whether it was hacked, there was all sorts of shenanigans, and there was a load of Bitcoin, tens of thousands of Bitcoin that went AWOL. It went through a little big legal process, and they've managed to find a lot of that Bitcoin is going to be returned to the original holders. So it's whether those holders will hold it, are they true Bitcoiners, or will they punt it? Because at the time, I don't know what it was, $500, I've got no concept, but they'll have made a shed load. So some of them could sell it and become millionaires, so they might dump it on the market. So they've got Mt. Gox, you've got the GBTC, but just now it's $16,000. Nobody seems to be selling from, because the number of wallets we talked in the last episode with people with more than one Bitcoin is rising. Remember, it's 940,000, highest it's ever been.
Yeah.
And you've got these kind of events. But at the moment, those events haven't happened yet. And we don't know if they will happen, but it's still $16,000. So my question is, who's left to sell apart from the miners to exist, because they're going through a tough time? It feels like there's no more retail. It's almost like, well, this is the bottom, because who's got all the Bitcoin to move the market to bring it down to 10? Certainly these two things could, but at the moment, nothing else is. So that makes me think, that's not bad.
So you calling the bottom? You're saying that this is the bottom?
I'm saying it's the end of retail, but it's the retail capitulation bottom. I'm saying it's retail capitulation. There's no more Joes and Jemimas to sell anymore because they've been so scared they've gone. The FTX probably done them all in. That's it. We're getting out of crypto. Senator Warren's going to regulate it. And that's it. So if you think about that, and from 2018, the price of the bottom, if my thesis is correct, is four times what it was, because it was like 4,000. So it's sitting at 16,000. I'm like, that's pretty cool. And we know there's macroeconomics ahead. We know that, you know, if the Russian war with Ukraine, that illegal war, stops, if that stops, Jordan, the price could shoot up. But then also, you're now talking about, did you see Putin or Russia was talking about setting up crypto payments or Bitcoin payments for oil? And I was like, what is that all about?
It's going to come. Like, they want off the petrodollar, right?
Yeah. So that then leads us towards the end of this podcast. Before we get into conspiracy theories, there's a lot of macroeconomic factors that can affect Bitcoin in 2023. We agree. However, just now, until they've actually happened, it's sitting at 16,000, it's doing okay. It hasn't gone to zero, right? Michael Saylor, we believe, still has all his. He'll probably come out and make an announcement he's buying more. So my question is, should we be buying more? I mean, I'm DCEN, but should you sell a kidney? Should you sell the house? Do you sell your bike? Or do you just say, because we ain't going to tell anybody to do that. That's not our job. You've got to go away and learn. But I'm just sitting there thinking, that's quite, and it hasn't, you know, you thought, oh, Christmas is going to go right down the pan, but it's sitting at 16,000. Now, I'll probably have the Jim Duffy guru effect on it. It'll go to 12 next week. But that's my thesis, that retail capitulation is finished and we're now waiting for macroeconomic events, but I think we'll bobble along a bit, and then I think you'll see a start of a rally. I'm going to go for a rally I'm going to call it June 2024, Jordan. Bit of a rally.
Okay, I could see that, because actually what popped up in my timeline the other day was, remember Plan B's stock to flow chart?
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, the stock to flow, if you look at the cycles and the time until the next halving, this is usually the time where, like, I mean, if we look at history, if it does what it has done, discarding everything else that happens macro, then this is the point when it starts to, like, gain more momentum. But that's just looking at stock to flow. That's not us financial advice or anything like that. That's just a model which actually kind of got discarded, right? And people, there was such a big focus on it, do you remember, in the bull runs? And now yes. It's just like in the background.
Yeah. I don't follow the guy anymore, but I do. I was caught up 2 years ago in his, this could be this, and therefore it'll go that. And he's got like a couple of million followers, and he gets a massive audience. So whether you believe it or not, I'm not sure.
Right. Is that us for 2022?
I think that's us for 2022. I've got one announcement to make in that. I don't know if you've seen my Twitter, Orange Pill Pilot, but I have been
putting up some
videos, and people seem to like the fact that we can mix some aviation and flying with Bitcoin. So I'm going to create a YouTube channel called The Orange Pill Pilot, and I'm going to orange pill people. So I'm going to do, they won't know it, Jordan. We're going to be talking about flying with different pilots and different things and get you really interested in it. And then I'll just throw in some macroeconomics and some sound money in Bitcoin. And at some point, I'm going to rechristen the aeroplane Bitcoin. So that'll all come. So quite sneaky. So I'm going to, in fact, when we started off with gurus, I'm going to be the Bitcoin aviation guru.
Are you going to orange pill airports? I mean, that could be a good task.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can get a couple of flying schools throughout the UK to accept Bitcoin. That's my goal for 2023, to raise the game in a whole different audience. A whole different audience on Bitcoin. A clever, smart pilots are pretty, I'm not saying they've got a lot of common sense, but they're clever. So if I can, and they understand math and physics. So if I can get them into that and they go, hold on a minute, I should be holding some of that.
And am I right in saying this? I don't. You might know the answer. Airports, aren't they like in between jurisdictions and like not really controlled by anyone? Is that right in saying that? Like they're in between? No. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but they don't really have a, I don't know.
No, they do.
Does that make sense or not?
No, they do. Oh. And when you fly internationally, what is it?
I remember there was a film, or there was someone who couldn't leave an airport because that was like the safe haven.
Yes, that's right.
For them.
Yeah. So I recall
what,
that.
What does that mean?
Was it Snowden? Was it Edward Snowden for
remember.
A bit? I think it was Edward Snowden. Snowden for a bit. He's a big Bitcoiner. Snowdo.
He is a big Bitcoiner.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll find it and then I can put it in the show notes.
Well, we can update that next time. So, folks, look, that was 2022. Yep. A massive downturn, 80-odd% in prices and all that sort of stuff. Lots of unwinding. Lots of, you know, lifting up the skirt and finding out what's actually going on. Or lifting up the veil, finding out what's going on. But I hope over the last 12 months that Jordan and I have made you think about macroeconomics and where we're going. We're not conspiracy theorists. We love listening to all sorts of theories. We've got our own open minds. And in 2023, we will continue with that. We'll have lots of different guests on, different ideas. And who knows? Someone needs to start the Bitcoin Democratic Party in the United Kingdom. And I could be on. I could be on the TV. I could be on Question Time with Jacob Rees-Mogg. Jim, you're talking mints. Look, Jacob, come on. You and I both know it's a money printing situation. I don't believe that for 1 second. You know. You want to wish? You want to wish the listeners?
Yeah, like there's been some year, right? I feel like we've found our purpose and the purpose of the podcast, and then I hope that's like rubbed off on people that are listening. And a lot of you I know came to the conference, and yeah, it's just an exciting space to be in and learning about. So 2023 is going to be a continuation of the roller coaster, let's just say that. Okay. But we're on the right train.
Great. And everybody have a nice 2023. Happy, family, healthy, and Bitcoin and everything else is just a nice to have. Cheers, folks. Bye-bye.
Ciao.